take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
There are many knowledgeable and skilled nurses who, despite having years of experience in their field, find themselves to now be at a crossroads in their careers. So many of us who have been allopathically trained, we are now questioning everything that we have learned. We may have felt for a long time that there has to be a better way, you know, than the sick care system that we have been trapped in for so long. As we begin to navigate this new territory, we realize very quickly that it isn't uncharted. In fact, there have been many nurses, doctors, and other practitioners who have been blazing these trails for decades. You're listening to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Before we get started today, I do want to encourage our listeners, if you have questions or comments, or perhaps you want to share your own experiences with what you're seeing on the front lines of healthcare, you can submit those to any of our hosts by visiting americaoutloud.com/nursesoutloud. From there, you can select the name of the nurse you'd like to direct it to from our drop-down menu. We love to hear from you. We encourage all of you to engage in the battle and find your voice in this fight. But until you are able to do that, we will continue to be that voice for you. Now, if we are talking about trailblazers, then my guest today certainly fits that bill. In broadcast media since 1999, Dr. Robert Scott Bell, a 1994 graduate of the American Academy of Clinical Homeopathy, has served on the board of the American Association of Homeopathic Pharmacists and currently serves on the board for the Trinity School of Natural Health and United Precious Metals Association. He is a homeopathic practitioner, an author, and an expert in silver and copper therapeutics. As a keynote speaker, lecturer, and educator, he shares his expertise and practical experience with a broad range of audiences, addressing those who are seeking the depth of his knowledge, education, and key insights from his years of holistic practice, supporting effective natural health and healing choices. Robert had reversed numerous chronic diseases nearly 30 years ago via homeopathy, herbal medicine, organic whole foods, minerals, essential fats, and the transformational power of belief in the Holy Spirit. He has co-authored Unlock the Power to Heal with Ty Bollinger, and he hosts the very popular Robert Scott Bell radio show 6 days a week, where he discusses everyday health issues from the perspective of alternative and holistic healthcare. He travels and lectures to bring the power to heal back where it belongs with each and every one of you. Robert tackles the tough issues and shows no fear when confronting government and corporate bullies who would stand in the way of health freedom. You would be amazed by the amount of information about healing that is kept secret from you and what you can do to learn more about it. He's a homeopathic practitioner with a passion for health and healing unmatched by anybody on radio. I'm so excited to welcome for the very first time on Nurses Out Loud, my friend, Robert Scott Bell.
Hey, Kimberly, it's good to be with you, and I'm so grateful for all that you're doing on Nurses Out Loud here on, speaking it up, man, that's what I've been doing for so long. I'm so glad there's so many more voices now. It's wonderful.
Oh, exactly. I mean, it's so great to have you here. And so it looks like the tables have turned, right? You know, it's always been you interviewing me. So I think we can have a lot of fun with this, don't you think?
I don't know. I should be a little bit nervous, but I'm going to go with it.
You think? Because I was just thinking, oh my gosh, I feel a little bit intimidated, you know, nearly what, 30 years you have on the radio, but maybe you can give me some constructive feedback after the show. I would love that. Have you had a chance to listen to any of the episodes?
Oh, good Lord. I hardly have a chance to listen to my episodes, which I don't anymore.
Man, I hear that.
But I, you know, getting to hang out with you and talk to you and have fun with you while we have these events around the country is terrific. And if you just bring that heart and healing passion that you have, you're doing great.
Yeah, actually, you know, we were all just together this past weekend. We were here in Nashville for the Clay Clark's Reawaken America tour. And then a couple weeks before that, we were all in Orlando for the American Health and Freedom Summit. And then we're going to be together again, in just a few weeks for T.S. Everino's Next Steps.
Yes, that's right. Setting up a parallel society or tracks on various different endeavors, including broadcast media and, of course, natural healing methods. And even the allopaths are getting together to try and figure out this thing and do it better.
Exactly. I mean, you know, I know that you have to be excited to see so many, more voices, allopathics, nurses, doctors, and other practitioners finally kind of stepping into what you've been. Like I said, you've been blazing trails here for decades.
Well, I do love the fact that we are now coming together in a cooperative spirit, yes. One that recognizes, you know what, no matter what path you went down in the healing or whether it be allopathic medical modalities or holistic, homeopathic, naturopathic, that there's often a common motivator for most people that go into it. And somewhere along the line, we've all been played to dislike one another, distrust one another, to even hate one another because, oh, you're different, you're doing it wrong. And yet there's so many things that we all do right and do well. And that's where we needed to come together. And of course, the COVID craziness has brought us together despite them trying to separate us and divide us even further. So in crisis like this, where they try to take advantage of it for our own detriment, many doctors, nurses, natural folks have come together and said, you know what, it's time to set all those things aside and find out what works, what helps. Learn from one another, teach one another, and be all the better off for it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I do want to dig a little bit into your background. I know that you had dealt with some chronic health issues when you were growing up. Is that pretty much what set you on your path to seeking these alternative health solutions? And, you know, how did you come to realize that there was a better way? Because so much of that information is suppressed.
Yeah, we talk about the hidden information. It was certainly hidden for me. I was raised in a pharmaceutical medical family, and I always knew I'd grow up to be a doctor, but the only model for doctors I had were medical. And my uncle was a physician, a medical doctor as well. And he warned me when I was a teenager not to become a doctor. And I thought, this is the craziest thing ever from your uncle who's a doctor. And I didn't understand what he was saying, but he just tried to convince me that I would be miserable if I was a doctor. And I didn't understand it till some years later, when I was at Emory University on that track, that I realized that all the things that the medical community had done to me in the guise of helping me, I mean, I don't mean that they tried to hurt me, but whether it be drugs, surgeries, various shots, allergy medicines, all you name it, all of the gastrointestinal issues I had, skin issues, musculoskeletal inflammatory conditions, all of those things that they did to remediate or relieve some of the symptoms made me worse. More tired, more sick. And at that point, I realized that I was on a dead end track to maybe even death by my 40s, because I had ancestors, if I can call them that now, at the time, grandparents, aunts, and uncles that had died of cancer in their 50s, 60s, and 70s. And I was not healthy from the day I was born. I had chronic ailments from the get-go. And so what I knew of their history, just because my curiosity is like, you know, what were you like when you were a kid? Did you have all the same sicknesses and illnesses I have? Did you have musculoskeletal inflammatory conditions? Did you have respiratory ailments? Did you have skin issues? Did you have fatigue issues? No, none of that. Even my dad said, no, we get a cold or a flu once in a while in the winter and then knocked out for a day or two and we'd be on our way like nothing happened. I'm like, this is not my experience. So I put two and two together and said, this is a disaster for me if I go down this road. And if I do for others, what they have done, the doctors had done for me, I would be miserable. My uncle Bob, the doctor, was right. Now, the conclusion I came to that in that moment was because the doctors admitted to me they didn't even know why I was sick when I asked them point blank, come on, tell me, what's going on? Why am I sick? Why am I always ill? We don't know. And then as I was leaving, knowing that I would not come back, and I think they saw it on my face, their end response, their last ditch effort, I don't know if this is second, third year medical school, they said this, maybe one day you'll grow out of it. And that was the worst thing you could have told me at that point. I'm like, dude, really? That's all you got? That's what I get from medical school? I can drug you and then tell you grow out of it? I think this is not for me. Now, it was a disappointment because my whole life I had, geared up to, being that, which I believed I was here to be and do. And so it took me about 4 or 5 years of prayer, petition to God, and as well as experiences more of a spiritual perspective, that you get the depth of understanding cause and effect in life, you know, bigger than just physical life, but all of that, that I was opened enough to meet a homeopathic doctor who had immigrated from Belgium at the time and spoke a broken English that I barely understood. But he looked at me and took, you know, just a couple of minutes and said, you know what, your liver's toxic. Your liver's congested. And did this happen to you when you were a baby? Did this happen to you when you were a kid? Did this happen to you when you were a teenager? I mean, rattled these things off like he was a psychic. And I was like, I know what psychics are, but he's like, I'm not a psychic. I'm a homeopath. And I'd never heard the word homeopathy. That's at 24 years of age. So I was blown away by it. And I was finally open enough at that point to say, okay, there might be something to this. This guy's got more energy in his, at that time, 60s, and I had my 20s. And so I embarked on a journey to clean up my diet, went organic, began to detoxify my liver with homeopathic remedies, began to supplement with whole food, minerals, things like that, that I was lacking in my diet. And slowly but surely, within 2 years, overcame most of what I had experienced the previous 24, especially with the gastrointestinal diseases. And never looked back in a sense. It wasn't a fad. You know, when I went organic, people say, oh, yeah, that won't last. I'm like, you know, here I am. 33 years later, still organic and trying to encourage others to do better, eat better, and run in circles around people in their 20s and 30s because of the things I've learned and what I can do now. So it's been quite an inspiring journey for my own sake to be alive and well and to help others to do the same or better.
Well, I will tell you, you encourage me every time that we are together. I mean, and even when we're not together, because, you know, we were just together this past weekend, and I wanted to do was have a piece of gum, and mm-hmm. And I'm trying to chew my gum, and Robert Scott Bell is like, oh my God, you're poisoning yourself.
Well, let's be honest. It was a chemistry set that you were chewing on. Aspartame is a known neurotoxin, and, there's a lot of things in there that just even in small quantities can be devastating to the cellular metabolic health you're after.
So you get into my head, though, because, you know, I don't have the best diet. We all know that. You know, I'm, especially now, I'm just completely stressed out all the time. My schedule is just complete. It's awful. So I'm not eating right. I'm not sleeping right. But I'm trying to eat this crap food, and literally I'm eating, was it last night or the night before? I can't remember. I spit my food out. I was like, oh my God, I'm poisoning myself. I'm like, Robert, get out of my head.
I'm just sorry about that, but I'm not.
But you're not, exactly.
The reality is, you know, people stress eat. Some people stress fast, which is a little healthier. But the idea, of course, is to love yourself enough. Once you recognize how important this is. And look, Kimberly, you weren't raised, organically, nor was I. So I had no idea. I ate fast food, junk food. It was just the way we were raised. And so I didn't see the connection between what I put into my body and how my body was either fueled or not, or poisoned or not, subtly or powerfully over time. And it isn't like one stick of gum is going to kill you, or one, you know, cellophane muffin from the grocery store or the drugstore is going to kill. But the point is, it's an accumulation over time. And, you know, undoing that over time, thank God, doesn't take as long as it took us to get where we are. But we have to have a, you know, concerted effort to do so. Now, it's just like any, in a sense, addiction too. We have to feel, well, a genuine desire to make a change, because it's not something I can convince you to do. But if you're having these things happen, there's something about the worthiness that may have been an old tape in your own history and life that said, you know what, I'm not worth taking that time to eat right, or, you know, get the thing that will be of benefit to me. And I just got to get by. And so some of this, or a lot of this, is, you know, mental and emotional and even spiritual constructs playing themselves out or manifesting themselves physically. So the moment you begin to recognize this, you begin to say, you know what, I am worthy of doing the best, of feeding myself the best. And even in times when, you know, I had little to no money, you know, not far out of college at the time, and when organic food was 3 or 4 times more expensive relative to what it is today compared to the regular stuff, I found that at the end of the month, I had the same amount or more money left over. Now, partly because I wasn't eating out as much and wasting my money on that, but there's something that I think to account for when we love ourselves as much as God loves us, that we are rewarded all the time with the benefits that, you know, or the gifts, the something that we need to get through the thing we think we can't get through. So much of this starts with love yourself as much as God loves you, or at least try. And you're going to find it's much easier to make the steps, take the steps that really fulfill your mission. And you have an incredible mission, Kimberly, with the, you know, the Nurse Freedom Network. That's why I never mention you on my show.
Never do I tune in and hear my name. Yeah. 6 days a week on the Robert Scott Bell Show. So
you know, the reinforcement from people that you have encountered now because of what you've done, you've stepped up to do something extraordinary that not everybody is willing to do. Or maybe they're too afraid to do. And yet, you know, we all have fears. It's part of our human experience. Yet you've stepped up to do it despite a lot of odds and obstacles against you. And you're encountering people that love you dearly and that all they want to do is prop you up and tell you how wonderful you are, because you are. And we all have old tapes that say, well, I can't really be that good because, you know, this happened in my life. But the opportunity now to come together with people that believe in you or believe in me or whatever it is, it really is a transformation from a consciousness that we thought we had to be in because it was just the way we were and what we interacted with and the people that were around us, even family members, to the way we want to be and the way we want to also be examples for others. And you're doing that with the Nurse Freedom Network.
Well, exactly. And now that we are rolling out Remnant Nursing, where we're focusing on health and wellness and keeping people healthy and well and out of hospitals, you know, I want to be able to serve others and be that example as you are to me and to so many others. I want to do that myself, because one of the most depressing things to me, and this is even pre-COVID as an ICU nurse, was seeing the number of patients that would come in with these chronic illnesses, and like 85 to maybe 90% of them were all completely preventable, you know, lifestyle modifications. And it was very sad and depressing to watch this. I'm like, oh my God, this is what I have to look forward to. But it does not have to be that way. And I want to find that path for myself and then be able to share that with so many others. I look forward to that. And I, you know, and homeopathy is something that I've not ever really learned about. I know I've always known it existed, but for so long we've been told to discredit these types of alternative medicine. So we just kind of write it off and don't consider it to be credible. But now, obviously, as we're awakening to how we have been lied to for so long, you know, I crave that kind of knowledge. So I'm really looking forward to learning more about homeopathy, and then again being able to offer that to nurses that we're bringing in to Remnant Nursing. That is, it's going to open up so many doors for all of us and for just, you know, everybody in society that really needs somebody to support them on their journey. And we want to be that.
Kimberly, it's astonishing how much can be corrected simply by putting better things into our body. You know, I remember this documentary film made a couple of years back by Jeffrey Smith and Amy Hart called Secret Ingredients. And I think you can go to secretingredientsmovie.com or something to find it. And it basically monitored a number of people in this film over a course of time, obviously condensed into a 90-minute film, children, some even with autism diagnoses, parents with various chronic ailments and illnesses, and grandparents. And through the movie, the doctors that were monitoring these people were prescribing only an organic non-GMO diet. Nothing else. And over the course of this 90-minute movie, of course, it covers a lot more time than that. There were two children that lost the autism spectrum diagnosis completely, various parents that undid much of their chronic ailments, as well as the grandparents. So the idea that food is not medicine, of course, we're going back to Hippocrates, is absurd. But it can also be poison if you bring in with the things you think you want or need, the things that are detrimental to cellular metabolic functions. And the bioaccumulation of these things, again, over time, not an instantaneous poisoning like we could point to, oh, that was obvious, but subtly over time, over decades, in fact, manifesting as all these chronic ailments that are managed by the allopathic monopoly by estimating that this must be evidence of an FDA-approved drug deficiency, all of these ailments and illnesses and symptoms, which is absurd. Everybody knows that's absurd. But you manage one, you manage two, you give 10 others, 20 other symptoms, and you manage and manage, manage. It's a very profitable, let's say, monopoly, of course, but it's not profitable for those that are stuck in it, whether it be the patient or the doctor or nurse who is not fulfilled or not fulfilling the mission they thought they signed on for, the one that I thought I was going for when I was wanting to be a doctor. And, you know, thank God, God intervened for me and said, no, you need to go a different path. And my uncle, even as a doctor, knew it, even if he didn't know it consciously, what he set me up for, to go down this path and then communicate for all these years on radio that which I had learned, which very few people in my culture and country, America, had known, because it was erased from history.
Yeah. And my average patient in the ICU, and it was so sad, and it's just disgusting, because the average amount of number of prescription medications that these patients were on were between 25 to 30. And that's not an exaggeration. That is very typical in this culture. And it's just so sad and really disgusting to me that we have gotten to a point where they're coming at us, whether it be from the food that we eat, the air that we breathe, the water we drink, and the medications that they continually prescribe for us that lead to more chronic illness. So for whatever relief they might give, it's like 10 more things that we will be behind the eight ball for. It's just disgusting. And I wish more people would awaken to what's happening with that.
And there's Kimberly, there's a poverty consciousness embedded into that allopathic paradigm that says, my gosh, what would happen if we actually help people heal and overcome the ailments and illnesses? My gosh, they wouldn't come back to us. They wouldn't need the products that we prescribe, the drugs. And yeah, that would be hard for a big pharma to stomach or stand. But if you're a doctor or a nurse and you're able to achieve what I've achieved in my life in your practice and genuinely help people to become empowered and well again, there will not be enough nurses and doctors of that perspective to meet the demand of people beating down your doors to go, I want that. Now, that's a consciousness of abundance to realize that it isn't about managing diseases that's profitable. It's about bringing the power to heal back where it belongs that is more profitable. And I don't mean that just economically. I believe that's true of many of the holistic or integrative physicians. They're doing rather well, although there's a lot of expense associated with it. Some people say, I can't afford it, but there's innovation that's happening there to make it more affordable too, I believe. But it's a spiritually profitable thing to do, to bring the power to heal back where it belongs. This, for me, is fulfilling on a heart level that's well beyond any riches you can measure in paper or gold and silver.
That's so true, Robert, because, you know, I haven't had an income since January of last year. Mm-hmm. I'm blessed to still be out here and head still above water. You know, mm-hmm. I prayed for sustenance and God has provided all along this journey for me, but I have no income, but I've never been more fulfilled in my entire life. So there's something to be said about actually trying to get people well and healthy and to live their best life. So, I think if I never made another dime, but continued on this path that I'm on, I believe that I will be richly blessed. And then I have been. There's no reason for me to doubt that that will continue. But one thing I really wanted to talk about with you is copper. Mm. You know, I think you're one of the foremost experts on these therapeutics. And for our listeners, I want them to be aware of, you know, some of the symptoms of copper deficiency, because I think that over time, we've become increasingly more deficient in this particular mineral. You know, our Western diet is not really known to be an adequate source of that. And then over the past 3 years, you know, we've had people consistently taking zinc as part of these COVID regimens. And that's great, but, you know, it was never meant to be something that's taken every day without end. And I think what many people don't realize is that zinc actually does deplete copper. Now, copper deficiency, and correct me if I'm wrong, it can actually lead to many nerve disorders. It can lead to fatigue, weakened immune system, problems like brain fog, problems with concentration, learning, memory, cardiovascular issues, vision problems. So the list goes on and on with that. But so it leaves us to ask this question, or it leaves me to ask this question, is maybe some of what we are attributing to long COVID, do you think it could actually be copper deficiency? And I would like to get your take on that.
I believe significantly that we need to look at this very seriously. And as you have mentioned, a number of so-called symptoms associated with deficiencies in copper within the body. That's just tip of the iceberg. In fact, as I've looked at all of the myriad of symptoms associated with what they call COVID or now even COVID jabs, they almost mirror identically, almost across the board, to copper deficiency. Now, that's not me saying COVID is simply copper deficiency, but at the very least, it's made significantly worse, and in some cases could be mimicking. Now, in terms of what you mentioned about zinc, also vitamin C, these things tend to deplete the copper stores in the body. And normally, naturally occurring vitamin C within food, there's copper present, but in the ascorbic acid and the ascorbate, these are synthetically derived often from GMO corn or sugars, are completely depleted of any cofactors, for instance. And so that also contributes to the deficiency that was probably preceding the use of zinc and vitamin C, which only made it worse. Now, in terms of our diet, it used to be that people ate liver every week, if not two or three times a week. It was a normal part of our diet, which was a high copper-containing food substance. Of course, if you do eat that, make sure these animals are grass-fed, because they're factory-farmed animals. You don't want to be around their liver.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to talk about how do we replenish this copper, because I know that, as I said earlier, that the Western diet is pretty inadequate. For myself, I'm not eating liver anytime soon, which, I mean, I've never actually had it, so I don't know. It just doesn't sound good. But do you eat liver?
I take the desiccated liver from grass-fed animals in a capsulated form.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of it, although my dad and his dad, they ate liver and onions all the time, and it was like normal, and we would all be gagging, gross out about it. So one of the ways to support copper inflow from a dietary food source, because I defer to that more primarily than anything, is to do that. I like bee pollen. I do bee pollen every day as well. That's a good source of dietary copper. And of course, I use, the bioactive copper hydrosol that I use, Sovereign Copper, a liquid form that is microgram content. So for anybody that is concerned about taking too much, you'll never take too much of this, but you have the copper one, copper two form instantaneously available across the mucosal barrier, requiring no breakdown, real digestion at that point. So there's a lot of deficiencies within the digestive processes and metabolic breakdowns that even if we get good dietary sources of copper, we may only get 30 to 40%, let's say in an ideal world scenario. It's probably much less for most people that have corrupted digestive systems already.
Yeah. And so with the copper, and I know I have some that you had provided for me at mm-hmm. one of the events that we were at, and I started taking that. So if I do that like three times a day, let's say that should be sufficient to get my copper stores up.
I would have you, take it's 150 micrograms per tablespoon of the Sovereign Copper. If you did that three times a day, you're really only at 50% of the RDI. So some would argue, well, that's just plain not enough because you're not even making the low level RDI. But the reality is, because it's already in the copper one, copper two form, instantly available, you need far less to achieve far more. There's no waste involved. So most people, if they are deficient and want to accelerate the recovery quickly, can go on as little as a tablespoon three times a day and see significant changes within days to weeks. However, could you safely take double that? Yes, you could. Would you need to? Not likely. But I still, in addition to that, I do take the supplemental form that I get from animal sources, if you will, the organ meats, and I do the bee pollen, because I think we have become so significantly deficient of copper that we are better served by bringing that in more every day. And I think that the fear of copper toxicity is overwrought. It's not based in a clinical reality other than the extreme cases of Wilson's disease, which is so rare. I've never seen it in my 30 years of doing homeopathy. So I find that it is much more beneficial to embrace and really utilize this key mineral and see how it fulfills so many metabolic processes and cuproenzyme pathways that are deficient at this moment. So that's one of the simplest things we can do. And I'm not saying it's the only thing, but my gosh, when you hit something that is so deficient and you replenish it, it's miraculous what you can see metabolically as far as your body responding in a positive way.
You know, this is such great information for our listeners. So I thank you for that. And I look forward to kind of talking with you a little bit more, outside of the show, because I really want to be able to, bring the clients that we are going to be serving this important and impactful information. I'm going to take a really quick break, but America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network, and you can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best in-class apps available on Apple, Android, or Alexa, 24/7, great talk radio. All of our shows go to podcast the following day, and you can hear them on apps such as Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, iHeart Podcasts, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate the show on Apple Podcasts for me. I'll catch you on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
It's time and this is what.
Hey everyone, Nurse Kimberly here. I want to tell you about these amazing products from Genesis. I am loving the UX4 Stationary HOCL Atomizer. Now don't be fooled by its sleek design, because this machine packs a powerful punch. It uses an ultrasonic atomization technique to create a dry mist that turns into droplets and gas, delivering active ingredients throughout the room. And when you add an HOCL cleaning solution, it is effective in reducing 99.99% of germs and allergens. The hypochlorous is the body's first line of defense in response to injury and infection. It is 100 times more effective than chlorine bleach at killing pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, mold, and mildew. It's hypoallergenic, non-toxic, non-cytotoxic, and safe for use around children, pets, and plants. Now more than ever, it is so important to be sure that we are disinfecting the surfaces in our homes and in the air that we breathe. But constantly wiping down surfaces can be time-consuming and costly. The Set It and Forget It technology of the UX4 makes it a perfect fit for our busy lives. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to see videos of these products in action. Be sure to use promo code OUTLOUD to save 15% off either the fogger or the atomizer. Thanks, Genesis, for helping me to keep my home safe and disinfected.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
AmericaOutloud.com. If you can't find it here, you can't find it anywhere. We are the pulse and voice of everyday American thought, working hard to earn your trust for 7 incredible years and counting. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to Nurses Out Loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton. Wherever you're listening from today and whatever you're doing, I thank you for giving me the gift of your time. Let's jump right back in. We've been talking with homeopathic practitioner and wildly popular talk radio host, rocking the health freedom world since 1999, my friend, Robert Scott Bell. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you. I don't know if I'm popular in all circles, but certainly the ones that are concerned with health and healing. Pretty much it's been a great ride. The identifying principles in healing, which I had to really work hard to find myself, are something that are so universally applicable that we can make the complex simple and make it accessible for everyone. And I just love doing that.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad that I have you in my circle. I will say that. But you know what, in my opening, I touched on how so many of us since COVID have really awakened to so much of what's been happening right before our eyes. And, you know, that for whatever reason, we just didn't see it at the time. And one of the things that I really love about you is your ability to meet people where they are on their journey. Now, I actually went back and listened to the very first interview that we did together. I listened to this this morning. It was about 2 a.m. because I can't sleep ever. But I listened to that very first interview that we did, and that was almost a year ago now. And admittedly, I was not where I am today at that time. You know, I didn't come into this fight anti-vax, but, you know, thanks to Big Pharma and these captured government agencies really overplaying their hand, I am sure as hell leaving that way. I'm leaving that way. But that being said, you know, I was at a different place when I first entered this arena, and you embraced me right where I was at. And I'm so thankful for that and for the incredible friend that you have been to me. But, you know, you've been a tremendous supporter of mine and the work that we're doing at Nurse Freedom Network and now what we're doing with Remnant Nursing. But you said during that first interview that I would always have a home on broadcast media 6 days a week on your show. And you have certainly kept that promise. So I thank you very much for that. But it's hard for some people, I'm noticing, to meet people where they are on this journey. And how can we do a better job of that? I know for even for myself, I've only been in this for like a couple of years now, and I'm so frustrated. I get so frustrated. I'm like, how are they not seeing it? You and so many like you have been out here for decades. I said to our mutual friend Kevin Tuttle last night, I was like, I'm telling you, I'm gonna end up in an insane asylum. It's gonna happen, and I hope you two will break me out. But
well, the thing is, now you've regained your sanity and you see the insanity around you. And that's the irony. When when everybody else calls you crazy, you're probably the only sane one in the room.
Right.
And you know what you are doing is looking back at history and going, how was I ever, you know, duped to the degree that I was duped? And you know, this plays pretty hard on our egos. You know, we like to think that we're smarter than everybody else, or at least as smart, and yet we were played. And some of the smartest people I know are still under the what we call the hypnotic spell of big pharma, big government, and big media, and they're trying to break free. And you know, this is the interesting thing about people like Dr. Peter McCullough. When I first met Peter, I could tell his heart was definitely in the right place. He's clearly one of the smartest guys you'll ever meet, you know, as a cardiologist and what he's achieved in his life. And yet he didn't know a lot of things. In fact, on our first lecture stage, I shared with him at an event, and I was speaking a little bit about this copper we talked about. And after the lecture, he came up to me and said, Robert, that was really fascinating. I knew nothing of that. We didn't learn any of that in medical school. And you know, it told me all I needed to know about Peter McCullough, that this man cares more about learning than about being right. And even as he's evolved in the last 2+ years, in his perspective, as many physicians have now, to look back just as you have on the entire vaccine paradigm, you begin to question, if they lied to me about COVID and COVID jabs, could it be possible that I was lied to about anything or everything else? And that was my journey. And so patience in getting there, because how about the 24 years before that? I didn't know. Am I going to condemn others that don't know now what I didn't know then? And so I had the, you know, perspective, rather than approaching it as a you know, ego first, as like, yes, I am right and you're wrong, and I won't, you know, like you until you agree with me. It's like, what do I achieve by doing that? You know, ingratiate my ego for what end, what purpose? Yet I see that the compassion that I try to exhibit, rather than my diva days, like when we hang out together, you know, I'm a total diva. I really wish that for everyone, because I wish others had been as compassionate to me when I didn't know this. And yet so many are led by, again, the mind, the mental constructs, the ego, and they're more concerned about being right and showing how everybody else is wrong. There, you know, there's still a lot of a big schism, even within the natural community, between the law of the terrain, going back to Antoine Béchamp, and the germ theory.
Yeah.
And there are friends of mine that are very upset. Like, you know, I posted pictures with Peter from this past week in McCullough, and they're like, yeah, but he still believes blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, do you know what journey he's been on? Have you followed it? He's like, oh, well, he's not where I am. How long did it take for you to get there? Exactly. I'm asking
he's
for
come,
some compassion
he's come a
here.
Long way. He has come such a long way. And like you said, he's so open, and he's not your typical doctor. I will say that.
But more doctors are coming to the same conclusion. Yeah. And God bless them. We welcome you. We don't condemn you. Now, you have to find a way to do attrition or repentance for the things you've done, as even the nurses are waking up to this. And my God, what have I done with the vaccines, et cetera? And I'm not asking you to condemn yourself. I'm not condemning you. I don't think God condemns you. But the question is whether you're willing to face the things you did, even in ignorance, and say, you know what, I'm genuinely sorry. I regret it. And I'm going to do everything I can to make it right from this moment forward. So now that you know better, will you do better? So that's a way you can assess where someone's at in terms of their integrity. They may not know all the things that I know. I've been doing this for 30 years, but that doesn't mean they should be subject to condemnation. Now, for those that still believe that the state, the media, and medicine should dominate and make decisions for you, yeah, I've got the proverbial bone to pick with you, and we're not going to get along very well, but I'm not going to hate you. I'm going to do everything I can to communicate why freedom or agency is fundamental to the human experience and should, of course, be instituted once again in all of medicine, just like after World War II, Nazi Germany and the Nuremberg Code was established. So much of what medicine is doing today is violating those fundamental principles of first, do no harm, yes, and the choice in fully informed consent, that it includes the ability to say no without repercussion, because fully informed consent isn't, yeah, here, I'll tell you the risk, but you have to take it anyway. That's not informed consent. So there's a lot that we have to mature into again from the allopathic way, where they've abandoned it and played a dominant role because of the monopoly status that said, no, we know better. You don't get to decide. We do.
Right. And I'll tell you, one thing that really bothered me, Robert, was that even despite, however you feel about the vaccines, whether you think vaccines in general are great and fantastic and wonderful, what bothered me, and again, I wasn't anti-vax coming in. I was just kind of like, hey, we don't really have some safety data, just a little concerned. Maybe we should wait a little bit before we start vaccinating everybody, including children and pregnant women, which is just completely unheard of. But my problem was, is that informed consent, there was no true informed consent. There was no informed consent whatsoever with these vaccines, because if we're saying the words, these are safe and effective, period, we would have absolutely no way of knowing that. We know we don't have any safety data. So how in the world could that be considered informed consent? So however you feel about vaccines, whether they're effective, whether they're safe, whatever, the fact of the matter is we did not have the data. So saying anything other than we don't have the data is not informed consent. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. And you know, to make medicine work basically via hypnosis and mantras, how is that in any way, shape, or form scientific? It's embarrassing to me, and I'm embarrassed for doctors and so-called scientists that, you know, go with this safe and effective mantra, much less say you cannot question because the science is settled. Anybody who says the science is settled doesn't know science.
They don't know. It's based on, but the whole premise of science, it's based on a question.
Mm-hmm. Constant questioning, challenging, arguing, debating, and re-evaluating based on experimentation, much less observation, which is the starting point of all good and real science. So when we look at all of the physicians that stood up and said, hey, we're having 100% success in treating COVID with the, you know, fill in the blanks of what they've done, yet they have become ostracized by their own profession, many of their peers that are still operating in fear. These are the folks that, you know, have matured and are maturing out of the perspective that they're right by virtue of their degree, which I call it that, because you often lose the sense that God gave you because you have this thing. You've been programmed into a belief system that isn't questioning anything anymore, because you're learning in allopathic medical school due to the Flexner report that if you question, you'll be drummed out of the profession before you even graduate. And so the basis for good science and good medicine is just, like I said, it's destroyed before you become the doctor. And the rare doctor that actually maintains or regains that then is often threatened with a loss of license and livelihood, because they threaten that status quo, which is all about what, drug deficiency diseases, for which there are really none.
Right. And I dream of the day when, and I'm sure you've been dreaming of this for a whole lot longer than I have, but where these doctors will wake up, because I mean, I think all of us that get into healthcare, get into medicine, we all have really good intentions. I believe that. I'd like to believe that anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to, but at the same time, we are finding the people who have the heart that is open. Yes, the mind that is open as well, and that are ready and willing to go forward, because now they know better, even if they don't know all the stuff that I know or you know or the things we're all learning, but to come together and work together and maintain that openness that we have always more to learn. And that's an exciting place to be. Some people don't like that because they've reached the pinnacle or their perception of it, and to acknowledge that they don't know a lot more than they know is a real slight to their self perception or self-worth, which shouldn't be rooted in just your degree or your, you know, your doctorate or anything like that, but your, you know, membership in the human family and your ability to genuinely uplift and help and heal, as opposed to dominate and again rule over others because you're smarter than anybody. That's not what we're all about.
No, absolutely not. And I mean, we should always be learning and seeking knowledge. It's a continual thing. I don't think we ever get to a point where we should stop learning, because there's always something. And, you know, everything changes and evolves over time. And it's always good to be continually seeking education and other perspectives and, you know, and shaping your perspective based on that. So I'm excited to see more people coming out and doing that. It's just, you know, the way that the system is designed, it's been broken for so long. They hold things like licensure and, you know, medical school being, somebody had mentioned that they should make medical school free. And I thought they'll never do that because that's how they keep them all in line. They hold these, like, you know, just hundreds and thousands of dollars over their head. Well, they just spent all of this money to go to medical school and get their little prestigious white coat and all of that. And yeah, they're not going to speak back against it. That is how they keep everybody in line. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, Kimberly, you're just like nailing. I don't have to say much to that. I just love that, you know, we're on this journey together and it's so exciting to see you just coming on out and just stepping on up. And that's why we're going to be at the Next Steps conference together in Buford, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta, Lake Lanier Islands, the 21st. I said that right, to the 25th, yes. For the nurses and the Nurse Freedom Network. So I'm just excited to see you there as well. And all the wonderful people that are stepping up and realizing we can do better now that we know better.
Exactly. And that's what it's going to take. It's going to take all of us coming together and realizing it's not going to be any one individual, one organization. And it has to be the spirit of collaboration. All of us coming together. That is how we win. This fight is too big for any one of us. And so, you know, check the ego at the door. And I really love Tia's events because she really does an incredible and extraordinary job of not just bringing people together, but actually, you know, empowering us with the action steps that we need to take to move forward. Because we can sit here in this miserable place where we're all upset and we're angry, or we could, you know, start talking about solutions. And that's something that we're focusing on with the nurse workshop that we're doing, is we want to start the first event we did, we focused more heavily on presentations. And this one, we really want to do workshops and come together with these nurses and start focusing on solution-based strategies. Like, where do we go from here to try to shift this paradigm? Because we can sit in this negative space all day long and be angry and pissed off that they have lied to us for so long.
Yeah.
Or we can just be, can I say pissed off on the radio?
Yeah, you absolutely can. And it's appropriate.
Okay, great. I'm just making sure, you know, I'm still kind of new. I don't want to get any, like, FAA fines or anything like that.
No, you're fine. And I've been there too. Look, I'm human. We're all human. Yeah. I don't deny the emotions you feel. The question is, what do we do? Do we lash out in anger, or do we sit back and go, you know, I've got to forgive myself for what I didn't know, or what I fell prey to, and then move forward? And that's, you know, it's a very hard reality at one point, because again, our perception based on so much of what we do or who we perceive we are based on the schooling that we've had, or, you know, the degree, et cetera. And I'm asking folks to go well beyond that, to reconnect to their spiritual essence. And that is the place, the source of all wisdom. As I've said this too, in many of my lectures, the real, I believe, job that we have as doctors, nurses, healers, besides being teachers, as the true origin of the word doctor or physician is to reconnect people to the source of all healing, and that is their divinity. And this is where allopathic medicine, I believe, went wrong. And we can certainly parse out a lot of details there, but I say when they abandoned the spirit, the true guidance, the true healing, that's where it all comes from, and went all in on mental constructs, worshiping the mind exclusively, and then looking at the body as a machine, you know, molecular reductionism, that became problematic because it just denigrated whatever spiritual reality or essence that really makes life possible, much less healing. So reconnecting people to the source of all healing, that is their divinity. And that's where we must be a living example for others. And I recognize there's a plurality of beliefs out there. So it isn't about promoting one thing over another, but, you know, helping people to be inspired by their own divinity. And how that manifests is going to be different culturally, you know, depending on what country they grew up in, their belief or the religion of their youth, all of that, but to support them on their journey back to that real healing, not just potential, but actualization, because it is that reconnection to source.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that a lot of people are in this space where they don't feel like they're educated enough, or they don't feel like, you know, they know enough to be able to do anything in this fight. And, you know, I question every single thing, and I've told you this many, many times. I question all of my knowledge base now that I had learned in the allopathic system. There's so much that I know that I don't know, but I'm eager and I'm hungry to learn. But you know what? It's not about what we know. or, you know, I came into this fight with, you know, maybe like, 10% skill, and I bring 90% passion to this fight. And that's what we need. So it doesn't matter what you know or what you don't know, bring that passion and that eagerness to learn and to do better. And there's nothing that we can't accomplish together when we do that.
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, this is also where we come back almost a full circle in terms of what your journey is, what my journey was and still is, to be living examples for others. How many people, you know, go to a doctor who's obese, morbidly obese, to learn about, you know, the health of their body? It just doesn't fit. And a lot of people see it and sense it. So I know that may be the hardest part of all of this, the genuine desire to help others, but we often overlook the need to help ourselves in order that we can help others. Just like being on an airplane, they say, put the mask over your mouth first before you can, you know, put your children or you're done. So there's nothing wrong. In fact, there's everything right about on this journey while we're trying to help others to really invest in our own health and vitality. Because in that way, your very being, that which you exude, the energy that flows through you, is just healing by its very essence and nature. And you often don't have to say a thing. And they just observe you and go, oh, I can do what Kimberly does. I'll be so much better than I am today. And that takes time. At the same time, it takes a moment to decide. And then you begin to see and experience what I did, a feeling of a flow of energy through your body. Like, I don't remember this. This is great. I like this. I want more of this. And it's not coffee dependent. But
listen, don't touch the coffee, Robert Scott Bell. You can take anything else, but leave my coffee alone.
Just remember the magnesium and the copper will do wonders for your energy levels as well. And if you do coffee, please try to make it organic.
Okay, I promise I will. Paul Newman, don't they have Newman's Own? Isn't that organic?
They do have it. Although if they're in those little plastic cups, I wonder about what other organic stuff you're getting.
Amen. True enough. I think, and we want to do better. I want to do better. But nurses, you know, we are historically not the healthiest of individuals. And actually, there have been studies done that have shown that nurses are actually some of the unhealthiest individuals in groups that you'll ever see. And it's just due to many factors, the high stress nature of our jobs and our poor diet and the 12 to, I've worked as long as 16-hour shifts sometimes. So all of that definitely contributes to our poor diet and the poor outcomes that we have. But as I think about how I want to begin to share health and wellness with others, I understand that that's not really computing when I'm in the package that I'm in. You know what I mean? I want to be that living example of health and wellness. I mean, right now I feel like crap all the time because I'm not sleeping, I'm not eating right. And my stress level is through the roof. So I've got to address these things because I can't be any good to anyone else if I'm not living my best life. Best that I can do. And I feel like not only am I failing myself, but I'm going to be failing all of these other people who, for whatever reason, are looking to me for some answers. And I get that all the time. People will message me, and I'm so grateful for them. They think I have the answers, and honestly, I don't. You know, I don't have any. I don't know. I don't know. We're just all in this together, and every day we're just trying to figure it out. You know, but so I'm happy to walk this path with so many of them. I'm glad that they're following along, and I hope that they feel inspired, because that is, I think, that's our biggest job, is that we should be inspiring, and especially inspiring courage in others in these times.
Well, and you are. I mean, look, you can look at any part of your life. I could look at any part of my life and go, I can pick that apart and go, oh, that's not perfect, right? And I don't want you to at all pile on, you know, those things that we have, the self-condemnation or patterns of beliefs that we have subconsciously coming to the surface. Allow them to percolate to the top and then dissipate them, pray them away, turn them over to God, and find out the new people that you're all connecting with are loving and uplifting and looking for the greatest in you and encouraging that to come out. And that's a new habit to create. That's it. It's just, you know, old habits, breaking them, it's hard. And you just got to be consistent with it. But the people you surround yourself with will reinforce that. And if there's anybody in your life that is not reinforcing the positive that you're moving toward right now, maybe they don't need to be in your life right now. Just like the thoughts that you would have that would be of self-condemnation, send them away. They're no longer serving you. And at the same time, again, there's going to be times where you're going to fall down just like we all do and went, oh, man, I chose poorly. I ate the wrong thing. But don't condemn yourself. Don't think Robert Scott Bell is condemning you, because he's not. I'm not. I'm just sending you all the love and support and healing that I can, because you are so worthy and you are here for this time, just like all of us now. And now we have an opportunity to do so much better, so many extraordinary things that will fulfill the wildest dreams we may not even thought we had. And now the possibilities are opening up. This is an exciting time. It's a wonderful time. And yes, there are a lot of things we can point to that we don't like that seem to be pretty rotten, but we don't have to participate in those things anymore. That is why these events are occurring, like Next Steps or other events, where we are now out creating or co-creating the better with God, with Spirit, and that we don't have to wait for the other systems to collapse. We don't even have to contribute to their collapse. We just simply withdraw our consent and our participation and start focusing our energies in uplifting endeavors, the things that we got into the healing arts for. And that's what you're doing, Kimberly.
Well, thank you, Robert. I'm so appreciative of your support on this journey. And there's going to be, you know, there's going to be some loss. You know, there are going to be people that fall out of our lives. And I think that that's okay. Not everybody is meant to be on this entire journey with us. That's something I've had to learn and really learn how to accept. Yes. But, you know, what we step into once we step out, it's like a shedding, right? And not this kind of shedding we don't like, but it's a different yes. kind of shedding.
Right.
But it's like a shedding, and we grow into something, growing into our purpose, mm-hmm. if you will. And exactly. I think that is worth anything that we have lost along the way. Again, what is meant for us on this journey, it's ours. It's already written.
Yeah, exactly. And one more tip for everybody, because you're looking for practical things to do, and this is a simple one. I just got a message from my buddy Coast Guard Corey. He retired a little bit early from the Coast Guard because he refused to get the jab. He stood up, you know, like we talk about the nurses that have stood up. And, you know, I told him about the cardio miracle and nitric oxide. We haven't discussed this today. I know we're running out of time, but he just sent me a message. Why do I feel like $1 million after I started using cardio miracle? Seriously, I feel like a god. I'm loving this, because that's part of my journey as well, to continue to get stronger, even as we age, and run in circles around young people. And that's what I'm talking about here, for you to have that energy. I want to remind you, try that cardio miracle every day as well. And that's profound in terms of energy production, oxygen delivery, autophagy, the activation of stored vitamin D. So much more we can discuss on that topic for another time.
Oh, absolutely. And we are going to have you back again. You've been an incredible guest. I loved having you on, just because I love you to death anyway, but you've provided such great information for all of our listeners. And I look forward to having you on again.
God bless you, my friend. And y'all keep on coming over to the Robert Scott Bell Show. You might hear Kimberly's name mentioned once or twice.
Once, twice, or 100 times. Thank you so much, Robert. Well, that's all the time that we have for today, friends. But remember, we are here on the air 5 days a week, Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, with a different nurse host daily. Please be sure to tune in and listen to myself and my amazing sister nurses. As we walk you through all of these hot topics, we will empower you with information and education. We will advocate, and we will stand in the gap for you, because we are nurses and this is what we do. I'm your host, Nurse Kimberly Overton, and you can find me here every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We all must do our part and share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos, so we can help secure America's future. We are in a war for the truth. We're putting out a bounty on the real misinformation and exposing the purveyors of propaganda. Join us weekdays with a different nurse host daily. No topic is off limits as we shine our lights and expose the darkness.
It's time, and this is